Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. Bond. Not James. I know you thought I was going to say James Bond. I'm not saying James Bond. I'm saying rather community. Community Bond. On this show, we have talked for years about sustainable investing and impact investing and all those sorts of things. And we actually have talked about community bonds in the past, but not in a while. And there's been a ton going on, including some recent campaigns, some community bond campaigns in Canada. So we are going to return to that topic, talk some examples, talk about how the market has evolved. Tim Nash is our guest. He is a sustainable economist and the founder of Good Investing. Hello, Tim.
Bruce, such a pleasure to be back.
I'd love it. Do you have like a competitor called Bad Investing?
I've thought about that on like, you know, April Fool's Day. What people often tell me is like good investing. Well, what if someone comes around and does great investing?
Yeah.
You know, you'll be in trouble then.
You totally will. Yeah, you totally will. A community bond is what?
Yeah, it's a regular bond. So, you know, when you think of a bond, we're loaning money. Usually it's to governments or corporations, right? And we're loaning the money, we're buying a bond, we're getting a certain interest rate every single year. And there's a duration for the bond. And at the end of that duration, 3 years, 5 years, whatever, you get your money back. So a community bond, first and foremost, is a bond. But what's different about it is that we're loaning money to nonprofits and co-ops within our community. That this really is about building that sort of social infrastructure that we so desperately need right now.
And what's the process? Now, I hope it has evolved since the time, because I actually invested in one of these bonds probably after we spoke. This is a couple of years ago. And the process was pretty simple. It was online. It was pretty simple. But take us through it. How does it work?
Yeah. So, you know, really what investors want to do is, number one, kind of consider the sort of risks and opportunities. Of course, you know, disclaimer, all investments, you want to kind of take a good look at it, make sure it's right for you. From there, if you decide you want to invest, you are basically cutting a check to the nonprofit or co-op. Now, we live in the day of digital transfers, so, you know, there are ways of doing it digitally, but really we are investing directly with the nonprofit and co-op. You're probably going to want to read their offering statement first, just to, you know, wrap your head around it, make sure it's right for you. From there, you're going to invest your money. For most clients, I suggest we do it outside of a registered account. So they're kind of
outside of our house.
No,
like we have to do it outside under a maple tree. No, outside of their retirement account. How come?
Yeah, well, just because it's a bit of a pain. I mean, these things, they're just not really recognized by a lot of the banks, the online brokers. Legally, you can hold them inside of an RSP or TFSA, but it's a bit of a pain. There's extra paperwork. Sometimes there's an annual fee. So for most of my clients, especially if you're doing the minimum, usually it's sort of $1,000 or, you know, $5,000, that, you know, really you just want to do it, you know, just regularly. You're going to invest directly with them. You're going to get your interest payments sent directly into your bank account. You know, usually it's twice a year. So every 6 months, you get a little cash in there. You get your T5 slip at tax time. And then at the end of the term, you know, usually a little bit before the bond comes due, you'll get an email from them saying, hey, do you want your money back or do you want to reinvest it?
I'm going to focus on the pure investing part, and then we'll come back to the social impact part. But how do the rates of return, how do the interest rates that these bonds pay compared to what a client might be able to get otherwise through a municipal bond or a corporate bond or a bond ETF?
Yep. So, you know, rates are going to be about the same. Again, it depends on the offering. So, you know, anywhere from about 2% to about 5% is what I'm seeing in the market right now, which is absolutely comparable to a GIC or to a government bond. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, you are taking more risk here, right? If we think of a GIC as absolutely zero risk, completely guaranteed, you know, government bond is going to be AAA rated, you know, very, very safe. Here, we are loaning to a nonprofit or a co-op. So they are going to be considered riskier by traditional means. So it's not really that you're getting a lower return on your investment. It's more that you are comfortable taking that extra risk, knowing that this is a smaller organization than, you know, what would typically be offering a bond.
What problem do these community bonds attempt to solve?
Oh boy, it's that age-old question. How are we going to pay for it? that name the crisis. We can talk about the affordable housing crisis that we're in right now. We can talk about the climate crisis that we're in right now. We can talk about youth experiencing homelessness, right? And all of these huge, major societal crises that we're facing right now. You know, the question is always, we have all the solutions, but it's how are we going to pay for it? And so what community bonds do is they allow an additional means of fundraising for a nonprofit. Now, this isn't, you know, charitable giving. Obviously, it's a bond. So they have to be, you know, earning money through government grants. Maybe they're a social enterprise and are selling a product, you know, but really, and it's usually to buy an asset. So this is usually a nonprofit or a co-op that's, for example, buying their building. So that instead of paying rent every single month, they're able to buy their building, ensure that they're going to be there providing their services for decades to come. And then when the bonds are paid off, you know, in however long it takes, you know, 10 years, 20 years, until that asset is completely owned by the nonprofit or co-op, then their finances are in great shape because they own their building. They're not paying rent anymore. They're not even paying a mortgage anymore because they own that building. So, you know, lots of great examples. You know, the ones that are really coming on board right now are geared at affordable housing. So there's a great co-op out in Kelowna, BC that is, it's Kamloops, BC, that is a sustainable housing cooperative called Propolis. And what they're doing is building this really cool building, you know, this whole sort of bunch of different units, a project that is going to be cooperative housing. But how the heck do you build a co-op? You know, where do they get the money? Well, in this case, a big chunk of that is coming from community bonds, letting people in their community invest in this co-op to build more sustainable, affordable housing.
You referenced risk, and I think it's important for us to include that, though I don't know what percentage of someone's decision would be about the financials versus the interest in making a difference. What happens if that development goes wildly over budget, if it's underutilized, if they lose their government contract, if they're sued, et cetera, et cetera? And is there any data on how often these community bond offerings implode, where people don't actually get their money back?
Right. So to be clear, you know, with a bond, the first thing we want to make sure is that it's an asset-backed bond. Those are my favorite. If you're funding an organization's operation, that gets a little, you know, dodgy in my books. That, you know, I really like the ones that are asset-backed, because in the event of a default, right, which can happen with any bond, right? Companies go bankrupt, they default on their bonds. That does happen. If a nonprofit were to default for whatever reason, the first thing they would need to do is sell that asset. Right. And that asset's going to be worth something. Now, I can't tell you how much it's worth. You know, obviously, it's going to be dependent on not only the project, but also the timing of when that sale happens. But fingers crossed is that they are able to sell that asset for a good price, and they are able to pay off all of their debt holders, such that, you know, as an investor, as a bondholder, I get all of my money back. Now, that doesn't happen all the time. So if they're not able to get the full value of that asset, that's when bondholders are essentially in line. That when it comes to these different debt instruments, and usually, I'll be honest, the community bondholders are behind the banks and the mortgages, right? There are usually a few people ahead of us. And so it really depends on, you know, how much the organization borrowed and how much they're able to get from that asset. And the worst case scenario is that the investor does, we call it take a haircut, that it's unlikely that they would get $0 back and lose all of their money. It could happen, but unlikely that in most cases, you know, the bondholder would sort of take a haircut on that investment and only get part of it back. But it really is going to depend on every single project.
Yes, and not a fashionable haircut at that. So as I mentioned off the top, we've been following these for a bunch of years. In particular, we were looking at ones on this show anyway, in the world of the environment, like solar power, stuff like that. Yeah. When you look ahead 5 to 10 years, what do you see? I think hopefully you see more awareness of these bonds. What else?
Yeah, I think just the whole ecosystem is growing. Right. So it's been incredible looking at the last 5 years. And if you ask me to look at the next 5 years, oh my goodness, Bruce, I see so much opportunity here, because I really think we've tapped into something really special with this model. But to me, there's going to be more supply, so more community bonds on offer. right? There's going to be more demand, that it's going to be a regular thing for people to allocate part of their investment portfolio towards community bonds. And then my dream is that we start to get even easier ways to buy them, and maybe in a way that's a bit more diversified, right? Like, I would love, there's this concept of fund of funds that's very common in the investment industry. I would love to see a co-op of co-ops, right? Or a bond of bonds, that where it's just like I can buy one product, and inside of that, I'm getting exposure to a whole bunch of different community bonds. You know, that would be my absolute dream.
Well, I'll just tap my magic wand and make that dream happen for you. You're welcome in advance.
Thank you.
One last question before we go here, and it comes back to this consumer awareness or trust or belief dynamic. So if everyone knew, we still couldn't assume everybody would partake. What is the single most critical question that you find yourself answering over and over and over again that people have on the credibility or the confidence in this type of a vehicle?
Yeah, really, I think people want to understand the risks, right? And that's really, you know, at the end of the day, what is that worst case scenario, right? And I always am very clear with clients about the liquidity risk. These things are locked in. You can't sell them if you need the money at the drop of a hat. There's the duration risk or the interest rate risk, that it's kind of like a fixed rate. So if interest rates go up or down, you know, it might not be as attractive as it was when you initially bought it. And then there is that default risk, right? But really what I want to communicate with the default risk, that yes, there is the chance that they could go under. But when it comes to the private market, like, you know, a lot of these companies that I see, they will close projects or go bankrupt, you know, very, very quickly. If a project becomes uneconomic, they will cut and run and leave investors in the dust. But when it comes to nonprofits, they don't do that. They are going to fight tooth and nail to make their bond payments, to avoid default, to keep their programming going, to have that positive impact that they have, that there is this real, you know, that in fact, their purpose, in my mind, almost makes them a slightly safer investment, because I know they're going to fight so gosh darn hard to keep the lights on and to keep those bond payments rolling.
Tim, I appreciate you joining us today.
It's always a pleasure. I'm a huge fan of the show.
Thank you. I appreciate you joining us, and mostly I appreciate your passion for this. There are few people who walk through this earth with the exuberance that I hope I possess, and I would put you on that list.
Well, I'm happy to be in such good company.
It must be our shared London, Ontario connection. That must be it. Tim Nash, sustainable economist, the founder of Good Investing, and he was here to talk about bond, not James, community bond.